his days are full of sorrow and his work is a vexation, even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. Ecclesiastes 2:23. Hi, I'm Rob West. That verse from Ecclesiastes reveals a painful truth. Even a productive life can feel empty when our work is driven by the wrong purpose. Wealth on its own doesn't bring peace. Often it brings more pressure. But Scripture offers a better way. Today, another lesson from the preacher in Ecclesiastes, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. It's easy to admire someone who plans wisely, saves consistently, and builds steadily over time. Our culture praises that kind of discipline as responsible and virtuous, and often it is. But Ecclesiastes challenges us to ask, what's driving all that effort? In Ecclesiastes 2:18, the preacher writes, "I hated all my toil, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me." He isn't condemning hard work. He's grieving that all he's built will one day be handed off, possibly to someone who won't value or steward it well. That's where sorrow begins, not in failure, but in success without peace. All his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. The more we accumulate, the more we fear losing it. What promised security only multiplies anxiety. What a striking image. Someone lying awake at night, not from failure, but from success. The more he possesses, the more he worries. Well, this is the irony of accumulation. It convinces us that security is just one more achievement away, while quietly making us more anxious the more we gain. Jesus echoes this same warning in Luke 12. He tells the parable of a rich man who reaped such a bountiful harvest that he decided to build bigger barns to store it all. His conclusion? Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. To the world, that sounds like winning. But Jesus called him a fool. Why? Because that very night, his life would be demanded of him. Then comes the haunting question. The things you have prepared, whose will they be? What's even more interesting is the context of that parable. Jesus tells it in response to a man asking him to settle an inheritance dispute. This wasn't someone who earned the wealth. He simply wanted his share, and maybe more. Jesus' warning is clear. A greedy heart isn't the only danger. An entitled heart is just as spiritually destructive. And that's exactly what the preacher feared in Ecclesiastes. Wealth falling into the hands of someone who didn't labor for it and may not know how to handle it wisely. We see this all the time in real life. Many financial advisors and estate planners will tell you that inherited wealth, especially when passed down without spiritual or emotional maturity, can do more harm than good. It can fracture families, distort priorities, and erode purpose. The problem isn't money itself, it's the absence of wisdom alongside it. That's why this lesson matters. You can save well, build wealth, and still feel anxious and unsatisfied, not because you failed, but because you expected your efforts to give you only what God can, peace, joy, and purpose. But here's the good news. Ecclesiastes doesn't leave us in despair. In verse 26, we read, "To the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy." The solution isn't to stop working or saving. The solution is to stop worshiping our work. Stop defining success by the size of your bank account and start defining it by your faithfulness to the one who owns it all. When we live as stewards instead of owners, the pressure lifts. We begin to see wealth not as a prize to secure our future, but as a tool to serve God's kingdom. Accumulation loses its grip and generosity takes root. That's when real joy begins. So ask yourself today, am I building bigger barns or am I faithfully stewarding what God has already entrusted to me? Am I chasing peace through my possessions or receiving it from the Prince of Peace himself? Because in the end, peace doesn't come from what we've earned. It comes from who we trust. Now, if you're wrestling with these questions, we'd love to help. That's why we're excited to offer our brand new Bible study based on Ecclesiastes called Wisdom Over Wealth. It dives deeper into this theme of dethroning the idol of accumulation and learning to live with contentment and purpose. This month, when you support the Ministry of Faith Fi with a gift of $35 or more, we'll send you Wisdom Over Wealth as our way of saying thank you. Just head over to faithfi.com/wisdom to request your copy. That's faithfi.com/wisdom. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. There's a trend emerging on Sunday mornings in America. Slowly but surely, there are fewer people on average sitting in pews week after week. And one of the biggest reasons is that young people who grew up in the church are walking away from their faith as adults. Interestingly enough, Jesus was speaking about young people when he said this, "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray?" You see, this is the heart of God for those who have wandered, and it's his charge to us as well. Discipleship is an all play in the family of God, and today, the family of God needs it more than ever. Try out Anchor Devotional in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Some say he's a guide like radar, or a source of amazing power like electricity. The question is, what is the truth about the Holy Spirit? What is his role? What does he do? Make sure you understand perhaps the most misunderstood member of the Trinity. Join John MacArthur as he addresses common misconceptions of the character of God on the next Grace to You.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Wondering who Faith and Finance recommends as a banking partner that aligns with Christian values? It's Christian Community Credit Union. When you open a high-yield checking, savings, or Visa cash back card, you'll help advance the gospel when making everyday transactions. Visit faithfi.com/banking and use code FAITHFI when you sign up. That's faithfi.com/banking with code FAITHFI. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're delighted you're along with us today as we talk about what it looks like to live as a faithful steward. Here's what we understand. God should be our ultimate treasure. Money is a good gift, but it can rival our hearts. Wealth isn't the problem. Trusting in it is. And so we seek God's wisdom. We accept our role as stewards, not owners. We live with an eternal perspective. We use money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes because spending, well, the way we allocate God's money reflects our values, what's most important to us. So we choose contentment. We live simply. We have margin. We invest purposefully. We embrace gratitude, we give generously, and we live rich toward God. That's the ultimate objective here on this program each day as we walk alongside you to help you navigate and manage God's money. So what's on your mind today? We'd love to talk about it. We've got lines open. Our team is standing by. The only thing we need is you. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Again, that number is 800-525-7000.
525-7000. You can call right now and we'll dive into whatever questions you have today, whether it's your spending plan, perhaps it's investing for the future, maybe it's giving wisely or paying down debt. Whatever you have on your mind today, call right now. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. We'll jump into those questions here in just a moment. But first, in the news today, most people are aware of the dangers of accumulating credit card debt or missing payments. But there's another risky habit that many haven't heard of, and it's called credit cycling. Credit cycling happens when somebody repeatedly maxes out their card, pays it off quickly, and then immediately starts spending again, essentially churning through their credit limit to spend more than the limit allows. While it might seem like a clever workaround, experts warn it can backfire. Now, doing this occasionally may not raise eyebrows, but consistently, credit cycling is often seen by issuers as a red flag, and it could result in your credit card being shut down, reward points revoked, or your credit score taking a hit. That's because your credit utilization ratio, the amount you owe compared to your limit, is a major factor in your score. Even if you're making payments on time, credit cycling can signal financial stress or risky behavior. If your card is closed, your total credit limit drops, which could raise your credit utilization and then further damage your score. Instead of cycling, consider healthier strategies. Ask for a credit limit increase, spread purchases across multiple cards, or make early payments mid-cycle to keep your utilization low. It can be a smart move if you're frequently using your card and want to improve your credit score. Bottom line, don't risk being flagged as a credit risk. There are safer, smarter ways to manage your spending. But by all means, I would say at the end of the day, let's only use credit cards for budgeted items, things you're already planning on spending the money on. It's in the plan, you've thought through it, and you pay it off in full every month, if not by the end of the cycle, certainly by the due date, so you're not paying any interest whatsoever. But just something to have on your radar if it's not currently. All right, we're ready to dive into your questions today. Again, that number, lines are open, 800-525-7000. We've got room for you today. You can call right now. Let's begin in Oregon. Lynn, you'll be our first caller. Go ahead.
Good morning. I am retired, so I no longer have earned income. Is it possible for me to open a Roth account for a relative? He's 27. He is employed, so he does have earned income, but I'd like to open that for him and begin with putting money in there.
Yeah. The account holder must have earned income. So since you're retired and you have no earned income, you personally cannot contribute to a Roth IRA, either for yourself or on behalf of someone else. So what you could do is gift the money to a relative who does have earned income. They could then use that money to contribute to their own Roth IRA as long as their total contribution doesn't exceed their earned income or the IRS limit, which is $7,000 for 2025. So that would be the option there. And this is not a minor, so you couldn't do a custodial account. But would that be an option for you?
In that scenario, would he have to take the initiative to open the account himself?
Yes. Yeah. Because an individual retirement account would be in that person's name, and they would have to prove their identity to the brokerage firm that's opening the account. So you could gift them the money and, tell him what it's for in terms of, hey, this is designated for you to put into a Roth IRA, but they're going to need to be the ones to open it. It's not like a 529 where you could open that on behalf of another person. With a Roth IRA, the custodian is going to want the person to verify their identity.
So if I gifted him, let's say, $100, that would just go into his account, and he would have to use his own money to open that Roth account.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you could gift him any amount you'd like. And as long as it's under the annual gift exclusion for this year, then, you know, you don't even have to tell the IRS about it. And then, you know, that would allow him to then turn around and put that into the Roth IRA. But you're going to have to give him the money and then trust that he's going to make the contribution. By the way, that annual gift exclusion for 2025 is $19,000 just for this year. So if you're under that, then, you know, you don't have to let the IRS know that you did it. And it's certainly not taxable.
And what is the maximum one can put into a Roth?
Yeah, it's this year, the Roth IRA contribution limit is $7,000 if you're under the age of 50. If you're over 50, you can put in another $1,000. So it would be a total of $8,000, but you have to be 50 or older.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're very welcome. Thanks for your call today, Lynn. You know, the Roth IRA is a very powerful tool for you to consider, especially for those that are younger, just because that after-tax contribution, which means, by the way, if you have the ability to do it, you can put in more money because remember, you are paying the tax on it first, and then you're putting in, you know, $7,000. So that's money that then is growing tax-free. You will never pay tax on that money down the road, which is just really a powerful tool. Now, a lot of people have access, more often than not these days, and they're increasing if you don't. So you may, if you haven't had one in the past, check to see if you're going to have one in the future. A lot of people have access to a Roth 401k. And, that acts just like the Roth IRA, except now you've got a higher contribution limit, which allows you to put away more money. And, you know, obviously that's key because especially if you're a bit behind, you have the ability to catch up quite a bit further. It's salary deferral, so you don't make that direct contribution. But for 2025, up to age 50, $23,500 instead of $7,000 can go into the 401k. And then if you're 50 or older, you get another $7,500 on top of that, $31,000. If you're between 60 and 63, you get the super catch-up. So instead of an additional $7,500, you get an additional $11,250. So $34,750. And that's going into a Roth, growing tax-free, which is just a huge benefit. You also may want to consider doing a little bit in each one, just because that gives you both the tax-free and the tax-deferred option. The unknown is the tax rate, so you'd be able to choose which is better. Back with more questions after this. Stay with us.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. We exist to help our supporters to leave a lasting legacy for years to come. We would love to speak with you regarding your situation to help put in place a lifetime income while also giving to the ministry of AFA and AFR. You can reach out to us by phone or email at 1-800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
So glad you're with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, helping you live as a faithful steward, see God as your ultimate treasure and money, a tool to give God glory and accomplish His purposes. We've got lines open. We're taking your calls today. If you have a question on anything financial, now's the time to call. You can get right through. Sandy's standing by to take your call. We'll get you on the air quickly. Here's the number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now with questions on spending or savings. Perhaps it's giving or investing. Maybe it's paying down debt. You're really struggling to get rid of those credit cards at a really high interest rate. You're wondering, what is the best path forward? Perhaps it's your credit score that's just can't seem to move any higher. Whatever it is today, again, that number, 800-525-7000. In our newest edition of the Faithful Steward magazine, which, by the way, as a partner, you'll receive four issues of Faithful Steward delivered to your door, among other resources, including our new study, Wisdom Over Wealth, on the book of Ecclesiastes. And word is, the box arrived today. We actually have them in the office from the printer. I can't wait to put my hands on it. Can't wait to get it in your hands as well. And if you want to become a partner, just go to faithfi.com and click give. But one of the articles that's in the current issue of Faithful Steward is called Finding an Uncommon Retirement by our good friend Jeff Hanen. And boy, I'm so excited for you to read it. You know, as we think about retirement, and this is a topic that comes up often on the program, we really should have a different perspective on retirement as believers. Because when we look at just our calling to be workers, to be productive, to be co-creators with God, and to use work to bring God glory and to even promote human flourishing, there's an opportunity for us to think about that fourth quarter of life differently. You know, the secular vision of retirement, I think, is weighed down with images of sailboats and gag retirement gifts and vacations to the tropics. But the Bible has a very different vision of aging. Listen to this from Psalm 92. The righteous flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon, writes the psalmist. They're planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They're full of sap and green. That's Psalm 92, 12 to 14. You know, the biblical call in retirement is certainly to faithful stewardship, but not just our finances. I think the deeper call is the stewardship of our experiences, our skills, and our very lives for the well-being of others. You know, Christian hope means aging, frailty, and death are not the end. We live in the ever-shining dawn of the resurrection. This life is just the beginning of the life that is truly life that we read about in 1 Timothy. And a biblical picture of retirement is not one of heroism or hedonism, but I think listening to God's voice and responding in love as elders, intent on sharing wisdom and blessing with the next generation. It's simply a life of service, pointing beyond ourselves to the servant in whose image we are made. And so this question, what am I going to do with my retirement, I think is an important one. And if we attune our ears to God, we'll hear Christ say, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." So I would just encourage you to think differently about this season of life and step forward into it and faithfully pursue the work God has entrusted to you. You have an incredible opportunity with the wisdom and the experience God has given you to be that elder at the city gate, dispensing wisdom, investing in the next generation, loving the people around you, and serving our Lord. And now this is just one of the articles that we have featured in this edition of Faithful Steward, just chock full of incredible, rich, theologically sound content that will just encourage you and push you forward in your stewardship journey. Again, if you want to check it out, become a partner today when you go to faithfi.com. Between now and June the 30th, so just 2 weeks away, we're looking for an additional 45 partners that would help us close out our fiscal year that ends on June the 30th. If you'd like to become a partner today, just go to faithfi.com, click give at the top of the page. All right, let's dive back into your questions. We've got, looks like four lines open. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Illinois and welcome Carol. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. My husband and I recently made an attempt to take out a loan to build a small building on our property. It was probably for around $50,000-$60,000. We were going to have enough money to finance most of it ourselves. We were turned down for the loan at the bank that we have been with forever. Our credit scores are both way over 800. Everything we own is paid for, own the property already. I know there's other things that go into the determination of whether you get a loan or not. And I just kind of would like to, the bank just didn't make things very clear about why we were turned down. I thought maybe you could help me a little bit with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a parcel of land that you already own, Carol, and you were looking for a loan to improve that, to put a new dwelling on it?
Not a dwelling. It's basically a glorified man cave.
Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah. And so you were obviously this could be, you know, the land and the improvements would have been the collateral. Is that right? Or was it just a personal loan?
Yeah. Well, it would have been I guess you'd call it a personal loan. But yeah, I mean, everything we have, we own outright. So
yes,
there was plenty of collateral.
Yeah. Okay. But was the property going to serve as collateral to the loan?
Oh, that is a good question. I'm not sure. I don't think the property where the building was going to be on that, because that is my mother's and my property, but it would be our personal home and property would have been.
Okay. And so tell me about that property. You own that free and clear?
Yeah. It's been assessed at about $160,000.
And so you were willing to put a first mortgage on that property and then essentially get cash out to build the other property?
That is a good question. I wish my husband was here to answer that, but I was thinking it was more just like of a personal loan.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Let's do this. I've got to hit a quick break, but I think that's something we ought to lean into. I'll give you a few more thoughts on what else could have affected this. If you can hold right there, we'll pick it up after the break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
The term providence means God's superintending care over his creation.
America's Providential History with Stephen McDowell.
God is at work performing his will in history. And so through this podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the providence of God in the history, and in particular in the history of America.
America's Providential History, available now on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
We work, we earn, we save. But is that all there is? The book of Ecclesiastes gives us an entirely new perspective on money that impacts our day-to-day lives. FaithFi's study, Wisdom Over Wealth, unpacks life-changing biblical truths about wealth, work, and contentment. This resource will help you grow in how you handle wealth by deepening your trust in God. Request your copy of the Wisdom Over Wealth study with your gift of $35 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
Some would say truth is relative, and to the world, that's right. What the world considers to be truth fluctuates depending on the narrative they're trying to promote. Of course, we know truth is found in Scripture, and it never changes. The documentary, The God Who Speaks, proves the Bible's reliability as the source of real truth and reinforces our belief in it as our firm foundation. Watch it anytime at stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Feeling burdened by credit card debt? As faithful stewards, we are called to manage our finances wisely. Christian credit counselors can help with a debt management program that allows you to pay off debt up to 80% faster, while honoring your commitments with integrity. Don't let debt hold you back from the life God has planned for you. Take the first step toward peace and financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. That number, 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. By the way, you just heard the spot for our new study, Wisdom Over Wealth. It is officially in stock. We can't wait for you to get your hands on it. It's 12 lessons on the book of Ecclesiastes that will help you redefine wealth, rethink your perspective, and rediscover joy. If you want to pick up a copy, you can with a gift of $35 or more to FaithFi. Just go to faithfi.com/wisdom, and we'll mail your copy very, very soon. Before the break, we were talking to Carol in Illinois. Carol and her husband own a piece of property. They're wanting to put a glorified man cave on it. Obviously, it's a separate piece of property from their current residence. They owe nothing on that property and their primary residence. They have a great credit score of 800 plus, and they were denied for that loan. She believes that they were seeking a personal loan where they were just personally guaranteeing it and there was not any collateral for it. So she was not adding a mortgage with collateralizing either the property that would have the new improvements on it, the new man cave, or their primary residence where they'd be essentially adding a first mortgage trying to do cash out. And so that's likely what was going on there. There could be any number of reasons, Carol, why you were denied from that, personal loan. You know, common reasons, many of them don't apply to you. So high debt to income ratio, that wouldn't apply because you don't have any debt. Could be limited income or irregular income. So especially common for retirees, lenders often prefer W-2 income. It could be an insufficient credit mix or history for large loans. It could be just internal lending policies. In some cases, if it's not income, they may have age restrictions. So that could be another factor, or, no income verification. So what I would do is ask the lender specifically for the denial reason. They're required to provide what's called an adverse action notice. If you're denied, you could try a credit union or a bank where you already have a relationship. You could reach out to our friends at Movement Mortgage at movement.com/faith. You could also try a secured loan where the property becomes the collateral. And obviously that would dramatically reduce the risk for the lender, just given that, you've got a piece of collateral there that's worth far more than the loan you would be seeking. And so that, would be the suggestion I would make here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's kind of a moot point. I mean, my husband ended up just selling some stock in building it, but his first way he wanted to do it first was to take the loan out. And that's why we Yeah, I just was a little puzzled by that.
Yeah.
I thought you'd be able to offer some clarification, and you have.
Excellent. Well, glad you called and you sorted it out. But yeah, I would be scratching my head too, thinking, well, we've managed our finances so well. We're debt-free. We've got a phenomenal credit score. Why in the world wouldn't we be a great risk for this this bank to take on? And it's just probably one of their underwriting standards just didn't line up with the situation here. And so they just automatically denied it, which was probably not a good decision on their part. Nevertheless, here we are. Thanks for calling today. Call anytime if we can serve you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Georgia. Hi, Pat. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a quick question. We bought our home in 2001. And I'm 93 in a few days. My question is, if I were to sell it, and it's we paid $225, and I think it's valued at $350 now,
okay.
Do I have to pay a capital gains on the difference, or go ahead.
No, you're fine. You likely would not, Pat, and here's why. Because you've owned the home for 2 out of the last 5 years, you've owned it for the last 21 years. So certainly you would qualify for 2 out of the last 5. And you lived in that home as your primary residence for 2 out of the last 5. Then you would qualify for up to $250,000 of capital gains that are excluded from tax for a single filer, and married filing jointly up to $500,000 of capital gains excluded from tax. So in your case, you know, you would have at the most, it sounds like $125,000 in gain. And since your gain is well under the $250,000 exclusion, no capital gains tax would be due, assuming you didn't use this exclusion on another home in the last 2 years.
Yeah, no, I haven't. This is my main home.
Okay. Yeah, so you should have confidence that you're going to be able to sell that house without owing any capital gains tax whatsoever, you know, assuming there's no unusual factors going on here. And you could take that money and do whatever you want with it, that what you do after the sale has nothing to do with your ability to take advantage of that exclusion.
All right. So it also wouldn't be affected by the fact I have CDs and, you know, IRAs and so forth.
No, ma'am, it would not. I mean, ultimately, your combined income would determine what capital gains bracket you fall into. But given that you've got this exclusion from tax for a capital gain of up to $250,000, because it was your primary residence for 2 out of the last 5 years, it's not even taxable whatsoever. So your other income has no bearing on it until you get above that $250,000 in gain mark.
I see. And the fact that if I sold it and downsized, which would mean I would, you know, get a less expensive home,
yes.
That wouldn't affect it either?
No, ma'am. What you do with the money after the sale, if you turn around and invest it, you put it in another property, you stick it in savings, you give it all away, none of that has any bearing on whether or not you owe capital gains, given that you have this exclusion. So you can do anything you want with it, including putting it into another home, and that's not going to affect this exclusion. You will not owe capital gains tax.
Right. All right. Well, thank you ever so much. And I can't tell you how much I enjoy your show.
Well, thank you, Pat. That's very kind of you. Call anytime. You've been a delight to speak to today. May the Lord bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to be hitting another break here in just a moment, but we've got room for you in our last segment today. So if you have something you're wrestling with in your financial life, you want to talk about it, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to encourage you, bring you some biblical counsel that's practical so you can make a decision with confidence. Again, here's the number, 800-525-7000. Before we hit this next break, let me mention quickly our spotlight ministry for this quarter here at FaithFi, and let me just tell you what that means. You know, here at FaithFi, it's all about helping you live as a wise and faithful steward. Well, that means we manage money wisely and hold it loosely, which means one of the natural byproducts of that is that we give generously. And so what we do each quarter is we shine a light on a ministry that's doing incredible work in the name of Jesus, just to make you aware of it so that you can connect your giving with things and issues and causes that are on the heart of God. And our partnership for this quarter is Heart for Lebanon. And we set a goal that by the end of June, we wanted to fund 500 girls and young women being reached with the gospel in Lebanon. And as of today, we're at 293 of those, 207 to go, and just about $8,000 away from being able to fund those other 293 young women. Here's the reality. Critical challenges are faced by vulnerable young women aged 13 to 21 in Lebanon. They're at a heightened risk for exploitation, and we want to help bring the gospel of Jesus and safety to them. Your investment at faithfi.com/Lebanon will help us reach our goal. We'll be right back.
Life can be hard, but we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. I'm Christy Graham, host of On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, and I want to encourage you in your walk with God. Listen each week as we go behind the scenes of our work around the world. You'll be challenged and encouraged in your own faith as you hear how God is actively changing lives. Join us for On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, Sundays at 8:30 a.m. Central, right here on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. One more drama playing out. Is the sky falling? Are we going into recession? Are you going to lose all of your 401k? Are you going to lose your job? Are you going to be able to afford groceries?
People better be training their kids, getting back into church, Sunday school, reading the Bible. That revolution will save this country.
We've had a political revolution. Now we need a spiritual revolution.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. You can call right now here in our final segment. We've got room for you. 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. By the way, I was mentioning right before the break there our partnership with Heart for Lebanon. If you'd like to help us reach these additional 293 girls and young women with the gospel of Jesus Christ and with safety and helping them to stand strong in the face of what is a heightened risk of exploitation, including early child marriage, child labor, forced prostitution. The team on the ground there at Heart for Lebanon is doing incredible work, and you can help us get there. We've funded reaching 293 girls. We've got 207 to go. We're about approaching 60% of our goal, and we've got a couple of weeks to do it. If you want to learn more, just go to faithfi.com/Lebanon. That's faithfi.com/Lebanon, or you can text the word FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. All right, let's head back to the phones. Let's go to Ohio. Hi, Larry. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. How you doing?
Doing well, sir. How can I serve you today?
Well, we've talked quite a few times before, and I listen to you all the time, but there was a lady that called in and was talking about gifting money and so forth. And you told me, we talked about this. I have a CD coming due, and I wanted to gift that to my son. Mm-hmm. And I think you told me that I could do that. I guess my question would be, when it comes time to cash that in, should I just roll it over to his account or roll it into mine and write him a check? How would I do that without getting involved with the government?
Yes. So that's a good question. So, in terms of the mechanics of it, you would typically, you know, as that CD is coming due, you would let them know, because some of these have an automatic renewal where it just kind of rolls over if you don't tell them you want to redeem it, or you just, right, you know, want it to go into savings. So typically what would happen is it would not renew, and therefore they would move it out of the CD and just whatever the savings portion of that account is. And then at that point, it's just sitting there like any other, you know, checking or savings account. And then you would then, you know, you could make that transfer electronically to your son or write him a check. In terms of that part about, you know, notifying the IRS, you do have a gifting amount per person that allows you to, you know, not involve the IRS. And that's $19,000 per recipient. So you can gift as an individual $19,000 to as many other people, other individuals as you want without letting the IRS know. And it goes without saying, but as a married couple, you would each be able to do that. So you could do $38,000 to a single individual. If you go above that $19,000 to any one person, or above $38,000 if you're gifting as a married couple, then you would be required to fill out IRS Form 709 and just let the IRS know. And then that is going to count against your lifetime exemption. So there's an annual exemption, and that's not a part of the lifetime exemption. And then there's a separate lifetime exemption, and that's sitting today. Now this could change. They could bring it down as a part of the new tax overhaul, but today it's at $13.99 million as a lifetime exemption. So it wouldn't be any tax. It just would chip away at that lifetime exemption, but it would involve you notifying the IRS that you gave the gift.
Okay. That's where I was confused. It's just a notification to the IRS.
Yes. And it is ultimately going to result in them, you know, applying it toward that lifetime exemption. So it will systematically reduce it. But yeah, you're not going to get anywhere close to $14 million. So you should be in good shape.
Well, I don't know.
All right. Well, maybe you do. No, so I'm just keep that in mind.
I'm going to spend that money when I come down and buy you a Mexican dinner.
Hey, there you go. I'm still waiting for that, Larry. So, yeah, just let me know when you're coming. I've already got the place picked out.
I tell you what, Rob, I've got a pup here, and we're trying to train this pup. So when we can get away from her, we're coming.
All right. Well, I'm going to be ready for you. So you let me know when that is, and we're going to enjoy a meal together, my friend.
All right, pal. Thank you.
God bless you. 800-525-7000. Here in our final segment today, if you have a financial question or you want to talk about Mexican food, call me at 800-525-7000. Kansas is where Roger's located. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to move into my rental property. It's been rented for 20 years, but I understand if I move in it for 2 years that I could avoid capital gains if I sold my current house.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So so tell me, give me a little bit more detail. So you have two properties, that's right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so you've got a rental property that you're looking to sell. And yes, from the date of the sale, Roger, going back, you would need to be able to say that property was your primary residence for two out of the last 5 years. And in terms of, you know, property residence, you know, the IRS has a specific definition on that. That's your main home where a person lives most of the time. And, you know, so that would be the majority of the year. And if you can live there for two out of the previous 5 years, then yes, you would be able to have that $250,000 in gain or $500,000 as a married couple that would be excluded from tax.
Okay, that answered my question.
Okay, yeah, very good. We appreciate it, Roger, and hopefully that helps. You know, the only other option to consider, which some people, you know, are interested in, is if you're going to have another rental property, if you're planning to take the proceeds and, you know, roll it into another property, you could do a 1031 exchange, which would not exclude the capital gains, but it would kick the can down the road. Now, if you're looking to redeploy that money somewhere else, invest it or give it or, you know, whatever that is, well, then that doesn't apply. You'd probably be better off going with the strategy we just talked about. But if you're thinking about buying another rental property and you'd be willing to identify that property in 90 days and close on it in 180 days, then you could essentially roll 100% of the money forward, not pay the capital gains, and the IRS would just get you for that capital gains when you ultimately sell another property down the road. But you could use 100% of that to get into the next one. So something to at least think about if you're planning to stay as a landlord in the rental property business. If you're not, then you might want to go with the strategy we've discussed. Thanks for your call today, sir. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. You know, one of the other issues that comes up a lot here on the program that we tackle in this current edition of Faithful Steward is this question: is it okay to leave different amounts to my kids? You know, and this is one of those issues that just doesn't feel right, because, you know, I think what parents are getting at there is it fair to leave different amounts to my kids? And here's the reality: you know, estate planning can be challenging, and, you know, I certainly understand the desire to be fair. And I think the answer lies in, and this is what we tackle with our friend Ron Blue, the popular author and one of my mentors in this edition of Faithful Steward. He has a principle that he calls the uniqueness principle. And here's what it says. It says, love your children equally, but treat them uniquely. Now, what Ron is not saying here is that we automatically need to leave differing amounts. You may decide to, for whatever portion you're not going to give to ministry, you're going to leave to your heirs. You may decide to divide it absolutely equally, and that's great. But what he's opening the door to is this idea that each of my children is different financially, emotionally, spiritually, and you may decide that their individual needs and life circumstances warrant allocating varying amounts. And he offers the idea that good stewardship means recognizing these differences. And then, again, in some cases, and you need to make that decision prayerfully as the steward, allocating resources differently. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're showing favoritism, which the Bible warns against. I mean, we see that in Genesis 37. But as we consider it, here's the three questions that Ron encourages you to ask as you think about how much to leave to the kids. Number one, what would be the worst possible outcome if we leave this amount to this child? And obviously you would apply these questions, for each of your children. So that's number one. What would be the worst possible outcome if we leave this amount to this child? Second, how serious is this outcome? And third, how likely is it to happen? You see, remember, money is going to be the fuel in the tank that's going to propel your child in whatever direction he or she is already heading. If they're heading in a direction away from the Lord, that money could be the fuel that pushes them even further if they're living a toxic lifestyle. On the flip side, it could fuel them absolutely in the direction they're already going if they're generous givers and wise stewards. But asking those questions might allow you to put a finer point on it. And the purpose of the questions, Ron makes the point, is not to arrive at a predetermined answer. Again, you may treat your children equally, or you may choose to handle it disproportionately. But the goal is to guide you toward a well-thought-out decision. Ultimately, wealth transfer should reflect God's wisdom, not just human emotions. And so that's why factors like financial need and spiritual maturity and life circumstances should all be prayerfully considered. But anyway, hopefully that's an encouragement to you today. I'm sure there's somebody out there in our listening audience who's kind of wrestling with that and just thinking about, as the steward, in answering this question, and this is a big one, is the next steward chosen and prepared? We need to consider the impact of the money on that next generation to the best of our ability. You know, we can't play God in their lives, but we can be wise and thoughtful and prayerful about how we approach wealth transfer decisions. Hey, folks, thanks for being along with us today. We're so grateful for how you join the ministry each day and how you come alongside us and your questions, inviting us into your story. It's not just me here. We've got a big team here at FaithFi, including our team today, Sandy Dickinson, Devin Patrick, Taylor Stanridge, and others here at FaithFi that make this possible. If you want to support our work, go to faithfi.com and click give and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.